Hello and welcome to the Green 19 Podcast. I'm Dominique Yates. I have Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein with me. Also, side note, Spoon, welcome back. It's good to see you.
Thanks.
Absolutely. So let's just kind of jump into this game here at Huntington Bank Field in Cleveland. The Packers lose 13-10, a walk-off field goal by the Browns. So some game, pretty much it all came down to that fourth quarter. One team made the winning plays when the other team didn't, and it's ironic that it was the winless team who made those winning plays. So, Spoon, I'll let you just start it off. Just, you know, what can you make of this ball game?
I think the Packers got bullied. You know, they had bullied two teams the first 2 weeks, and then the bully came around and got to them. They just got beat up by a really good offense, but also their offense is screwed up. Their offense is, there's a problem there.
It is.
Nothing wrong with their defense. Their defense is fine. Special teams is still an issue.
It's not special.
The penalties are just crazy.
Yeah.
And, but there's just a lot of things going on with the offense, and we're starting to see that, you know, the offense, the wide receivers are not, it's deep, but it's not good enough. They don't have a true threat. They really missed Jaden Reed in this game, I thought. I thought he would have been a guy who could have gotten open quickly, done something with the ball on end of rounds and things like that. And they just had no answer. LaFleur had no answer. Love played not terrible, but he played a really bad game, I would say. Not his best. And the reason I say it wasn't terrible is that the protection was off.
Yeah,
he couldn't. He had no time. But still, he and LaFleur should be able to come together and figure out something they can hang their hat on, and they never did.
No, Ryan, just same thing. Just, you know, what do you take away from this game and just some of that sloppiness that the Packers had?
There's just so much. I said last week that I didn't think Jaden Reed's absence would swing many games. Boy, did it today. Here's the thing. It shouldn't have. Like, Jaden Reed's absence should not be an excuse, even against a very good Cleveland Browns defense, to not score 20 points. Shouldn't be an excuse. And against, with this Packers defense, you score 20 points, you're probably going to win. Like, that's really the mile marker to aim at for this offense. Is score 20 points. They should do that against Cleveland or most other teams without Jaden Reed. So it did. They missed him today, but they shouldn't have. Like, that's not really it. Jordan Love, you know, I thought he played just fine outside of one play. I mean, he missed some throws, right? He missed a couple check downs, sailed it over Josh Jacobs' head, but he was doing exactly what he needed to do to win, which was manage the game, play clean, don't make the costly turnover. And literally, you guys know that I write the quick game story, you know, for at the end of each game on Packers News. One of my points was just that, was the fact that, okay, Jordan Love's not having a huge fantasy football week, but through three games almost, he hasn't had a turnover. That's going to win with this defense most of the time. And then the Packers call triple slants on the left on 3rd and 3. He doesn't read that Grant Dulpit, the Browns safety, is free, which means that he can peel off Tucker Kraft and undercut Dontayvion Wicks. Just doesn't. He needs to see that. He has to be able to recognize that. He does not recognize that. He throws it right at him. It's the one thing that he absolutely could not do, and he does that. So outside that one colossal mistake, I thought he was pretty much fine considering he was sacked 5 times in the first 3 quarters. How do you keep a quarterback from going off? Any quarterback in this league, for any defense, you harass him. That's what they did. That's why they wanted Zach Tom to play, by the way. We'll get into that. It's very clear why they wanted Zach Tom to play. They felt like they needed him against this Browns defense. In the last one play, it was very clear he should not have been on the field. So only the second time Jordan Love's ever been sacked 5 times in a game. The first time was week 4 of 2023. I'm with you, Spoon. This offense has a lot of things wrong with it.
Yeah, it was an issue. Go ahead, Spoon.
Yeah, I just want to push back a little bit on Love. I didn't think he played very well. I thought he missed some balls. You know, he had that 3rd and 9 to Wicks that Denzel Ward made a nice play on, but it was behind him. Mm-hmm. He threw that ball behind him. You know, the two plays to Jacobs were pretty key plays. I mean, he had that rollout, and he just sailed it over Jacobs' head. I thought, you know, he wasn't really on target a lot of the time. He threw a nice ball to Dontavian Wicks down the middle. But I felt like he didn't have answers to some of the things that they brought, and he should have never taken that sack way over on the other end. You know, he got
from Whitesinger
hurt. Yeah. And just throw that away, you know? So, you know, I just didn't think it was a good day for anyone on offense.
At one point, he was like 13 of 16. He did not finish the game efficiently. He missed throws. When he missed throws, they were late. I don't put that mostly on him. I put the interception on him. I put that on that's what happens for any quarterback when you sack him 5 times in 3 quarters.
Oh, he was flustered.
You want to see a quarterback miss throws they should and get after him. That's how this league works.
Yeah, and he did. He missed throws.
Yeah. But he was under constant duress. They have to fix that offensive line for him. It's the best game he's played this season. Detroit. He wasn't touched, right? If you have protection, he can play. But any quarterback in this league, you sack him 5 times in 3 quarters, they're not going to have their best day.
I know, but you're not always going to be, you know, protected. You know, some of the best quarterbacks, when they're under pressure, they find a way to get it done, and he just has to figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to jump into the offensive line, Spoon. I'll let you start it off. I mean, they were doing a lot of mixing and matching, a lot of shuffling. And let's start with, I guess, the first point of Zach Tom and Aaron Banks, because you asked LaFleur about that, and they tried to gut it out. But as Ryan mentioned, one play from Zach Tom, he's out. And it was still in the first half when Banks went down as well, re-aggravating the groin, and obviously Tom's oblique. But, you know, again, you can already tell there was no rhythm. And then right there from the O-line, after 2 strong performances,
yeah,
it just was not there at all tonight.
Yeah, the Zach Tom thing, they should have examined that a little further.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's on them, and that's on Zach Tom. Mm-hmm. He's got to be honest about that. If he goes out on the first play,
yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah.
LaFleur claimed Banks' groin injury was a new groin injury. So, I don't know. Still, I mean, he came in with a groin injury. Was he ready to play? I don't know. I saw him get beat pretty bad on a sack. And then this couldn't have been a worse game for Jordan Morgan to come in, because his game is definitely finesse. And these guys were just taking it to him in every single way. Taking it to everybody.
They did.
But I thought it was harder for him, particularly on the inside, to handle their aggressiveness, and that's something they're going to have to look at, whether he's ready to play any position other than left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, I don't know that he is. You know, Belton could have probably played probably should have played from the start.
Yeah.
And he had some issues too, but they just got knocked around. Everybody got knocked around. And then the false start penalties, Morgan had 2, Walker had 2, Walker had 3 penalties today. That stuff just can't happen.
No. I think that's just what it boils down to. A lot of penalties, just a lot of mistakes. Again, it goes back to just no rhythm, especially the one of the Jordan Morgan false start penalties. I think it was like a third and one.
Third and one, yeah.
And they tried to run it, and he false start, then they back up, and they just don't capitalize. So.
And those type of mistakes pre-snap happen when you're not focused.
Yeah.
And you might not be focused when you're playing essentially a brand-new position. Think about how much has Jordan Morgan actually played right tackle? I'm sure he got reps this week, but we didn't see him play right tackle during camp. He doesn't play right tackle, so for him to be the first guy up, which was clearly the plan, he just hasn't repped it a whole lot. I think he's played better at guard than last year, but that's not to say he's playing good at guard. It's just how bad he was at guard last year. So that's a very low bar for him to clear. So I'm with you on that. I thought it was very interesting. This game felt a lot like late 2024 to me in the passing game, where they just could not throw the ball more than 10 yards downfield. I thought it was very interesting that Matt LaFleur put that almost entirely on the protection. It was like, well, what do you expect when your quarterback's under constant duress? Those downfield concepts take time to unfold. You need to buy time. And the Packers sideline did not feel like Jordan Love had the time to be calling those type of concepts, and they just didn't even try. I mean, outside of that one throw that Jordan Love hit to Matthew Golden from his own end zone down the right side, I don't know how often they ever threw more than 10 yards downfield. It was very circa late 2024 when they didn't have Christian Watson, so they couldn't throw the ball deep. I think it's promising that more and more Matthew Golden is getting involved. He's going to have to expedite that development because they're going to need a way for the receivers to get open downfield. But Matt LaFleur put it almost entirely on the offensive line, the lack of protection. And there's a point to that. Yes, you do need to be able to protect long enough to call those downfield developing routes. They just couldn't.
Yeah. But even then, I mean, it wasn't like the receivers were winning their one-on-one matchups throughout the game either. So it was a full operation offensively, and it all struggled. Another group, special teams. I mean, I feel like we sound like a broken record when we say, like, they're going to, like, the penalties, the mistakes, it's going to come back and haunt them. Mm-hmm. And it's ironic because going into this game, I felt like if the Packers could have found an edge, it was special teams because the Browns had some missed field goals, blocked punts. You know, they made a lot of mistakes, but they had no issues special teams-wise and winning on a field goal and McManus's field goal blocked, and maybe they could have won the game there, but I'm telling you, the special teams, it's just a serious problem.
Yeah, Cleveland's kicker came in with a calf injury. They weren't even sure he was going to play, and he nailed that 55-yarder with no problem.
Yeah.
But if you go back and look at the blocked field goal, it was Jordan Morgan again.
Yep.
He just got, you know, bull rushed right up the middle. And now I know Bisaccia doesn't have a lot of options because two of his guys are hurt. So I don't know if he had another option other than Morgan, but Morgan probably shouldn't be in the middle of your blocking unit for field goals. I don't know who else he could have put in there. I'd have to look. But, you know, penalties. They had two penalties on that kick return at the end.
Yep.
Van Ness and Nick Barry.
Yep.
It's incredible how many penalties they take. And, you know, they kick the ball into the end zone a lot. They get a lot of touchbacks. I don't know. There's just nothing going on other than Daniel Whelan.
Yeah.
Daniel Whelan's a star. Yeah. And everybody else is, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, Ryan. It's so ironic because as bad as the Packers were offensively, they still had a chance to win it if special teams could have, you know, handled the operation and made the kick. What did Brandon McManus say about just the whole operation and just Orzech and those guys? Did he feel like the kick was good? Did he feel good about it?
Yeah, it's interesting. Matt Orzech said that the internal clock was as it should be in his head. Like, everything felt like it was crisp. You got 1.3 seconds, felt like he hit it. And then he hears the thud coming off of Shelby Harris's hand. And 93, Shelby Harris was the one guy on that field goal rush unit that they knew all week they had to account for, because he's had, in 11 years now, he's had five block field goals and now make it six. Like, some guys just have that knack to block kicks. It's almost inexplicable how some guys just are able to do that. He's one of them. They knew that, and they couldn't stop it. So Matt Orzech said, yeah, you heard that thud, and it kind of hit you like a brick wall. Micah Parsons, I thought, put it very interesting. He said it was like watching a movie at the end. And this is Micah Parsons' first time seeing this movie. But for those of us who are more familiar with the history of the Green Bay Packers, we know that this is a very familiar loss. We've seen this movie before. I think the silver lining is that instead of January, this happened week three, I think there's the potential for this to be more than a loss and actually a lesson. And if it is, it could be a good thing for this team long term. Of it doesn't matter how talented you are, if you don't show up and execute, you can lose to anyone, even the Cleveland Browns, because you literally did. But the Shelby Harris block field goal felt a lot like the Corey Bjorkvist block punt. Felt a lot like the Brandon Bostic botched onside kick. This is a franchise that over and over again runs a comedy loop on special teams.
Yeah.
And it has to stop, because this is a team that is talented enough to win a lot of games, potentially even the Super Bowl. But how many times have we seen that, and then special teams gets in the way? Like, you have to make a 43-yard kick. They had gotten a second chance because the Josh Jacobs fumble did not stand as a Josh Jacobs fumble. There was no immediate conclusive recovery. They had a gift-wrapped win, and then special teams blows it again. That has to stop happening for this team.
I guess that's the unique thing, because the players even said it in the locker room, like the whole mindset of good thing it's week three and not in the playoffs. But this team isn't young anymore. Like, this is an experienced team. They played a lot of ball. Yeah, they're young in some places, but some of these mistakes, like, how does it kind of become this recurring theme? It's the same type of mistakes.
They're
like
young, but they're not inexperienced.
Right.
That's the difference.
Right. It's like, if you're going to make mistakes, at least try to make some new ones. Like, you're just making the same ones. It's like a broken record. But, well, like, I mean, you kind of mentioned it earlier, Spoon. Defensively, there's just really not much that you can – you can say, you can critique some things, but nothing really drastically. They kind of held their own, especially considering the fact they were put in some bad situations because the offense just could not sustain drives. Just, you know, what do you see from the defense?
You know, they missed more tackles than we're used to seeing them miss. You know, they couldn't get to Flacco at the end. They were getting to him early, putting some pressure, but they had a hard time sacking him. And, you know, they never really provided... You know, the offense needed the ball at the 30 for some reason. You know, somehow they needed to strip the ball from Flacco. They needed to get an interception, cause a fumble. They still, you know, haven't caused a fumble yet, even though that's their big thing that they've been trying to do. So I'm not going to leave them completely off the hook. I mean, they stopped a crappy offense and held them to 13 points. But they could have done more.
Yeah.
Three of those points were really on the defense, whereas the 10, I mean, the Jordan Love interceptions returned inside the 5, and then the block kicks out the midfield. Yeah. Now, Micah Parsons did have offside. His second neutral zone fraction of the game right after the block kick. And after the game, Micah Parsons passed his chest and says, I apologize for my actions. They're not paying me to have two offsides penalties. Like, he took full accountability. I thought it was actually really impressive. But – he's right. You know, I mean, those things have to happen. I think you saw two terrible offenses today put way too much pressure, way too much weight on two good defenses, and they both kind of buckled at the end. Like, even the Browns' defense buckled at the end. Right after the touchdown following the interception, the Browns give up 38 yards in two plays. They let them right back into field goal range because they've just been carrying the water all game. And if not for the block kick, the Browns' defense would have buckled, and then – obviously, the Packers defense buckled. Bottom line, the Packers defense is very, very good. It is not perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect unit on any side of the ball in this league. The offense cannot put that much weight on its defense consistently week in and week out. That has to be an aberration today. I'm not sure it will be, but it has to be. They have to figure that out offensively so you don't have the defense needing to do everything.
Yeah. Was there anything from maybe LaFleur or Jordan Love or anything from the locker room that you heard that maybe caught your eye or attention?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I asked LaFleur about the false start penalties and asked him, you know, were you hearing anything from the bench on why these things were happening? You know, was it crowd noise? Was it whatever? And his answer kind of bothered me, which was, well, I don't have time for that. My assistant coaches are supposed to be, you know, doing that. I'm thinking about the next play, and I don't, you know, can't have a dissertation on what's going on there. And I'm thinking, you know, and making adjustments. And I'm thinking, that's exactly what you need to be doing, is finding out why guys are jumping and figure it out. And see if there's something you can do about it. I don't know if there was. But I felt like he took the blame for the play on the interception. And I agree with him. I thought they absolutely should have run the ball there because then, you know, Cleveland would take its last time out. There'd be three. By the time they got the ball, you figure Whelan kicks it, maybe to the 25. So they have to go 75 yards in 3 minutes with no timeouts to tie it. Not to win it, to tie it, assuming they don't go for two. And not only that, he could have run that bootleg that was working, you know, worked twice. And I can't, for the life of me, figure out why they didn't keep going back to that. Mm-hmm. Just tell Love to slide, but he was getting 5 yards. He got 10 yards on one and five on another. And if they're going to keep playing like it, punish them. Yeah. You know, make them, you know, figure out a way to stop it. And I just thought it wasn't a good day all the way around.
Is there something to be said? I'm totally with you. But is there something to be said about wanting to put your faith and your confidence in your quarterback to go get 3 yards?
Well, you're also playing the odds because even if it's incomplete, you stop the clock and they don't have to use one of their timeouts. You know, you've got a play that you thought about and it's worked. I don't know. No, I just... In that moment, I think I would have still run the ball. Even with Josh Jacobs, the way you never know when he's going to break a tackle, and I was just thinking to myself, you know, usually I'm not that conservative guy, but I'm thinking to myself, why, you know, they can't score against you, why screw around?
I hear you. I hear you. It's just that Josh Jacobs averaged 1.9 yards per carry today. And I hear you, but I don't have a huge issue with you're paying Jordan Love $55 million a year. He's your franchise quarterback. Keep the ball in his hands. Have him go make a play. Be aggressive. I think most of the time, aggressive mentality is a good thing to have. You don't want to just pack it in, especially when you know you cannot run the football in this defense. Maybe, to your point, a keeper, an RPO, which they got him on. Maybe that was the way to go, and then you're still keeping the ball in your quarterback's hands instead of airing it out. But I can at least understand the thinking there of, boy, they're not running the football. It's 3 yards. Shouldn't be an issue, but today it was. Keep the ball in your quarterback's hands. Have him go make a play. I understand the thinking. It just did not turn out well.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very – it's like the million-dollar question for this offense. What is its identity? Last year, it became Josh Jacobs in the run game. Defenses are loading the box. They are going to take away this run. So what's next for this offense? That's the million-dollar question. So we'll see. It's just they haven't been in sync. They haven't really been in rhythm. And even the first two games, they had some moments, but – a lot of it was just accredited to the defense and really how that group performed. So, I guess any last words, final comments before the Packers head to Dallas?
Just, you know, this is a game they should have won. It was in the bag.
Yeah.
And who knows if it'll come back and haunt them. I don't know. It could have – if they were going to lose one of their first three games, this is the one you'd rather lose because it's an AFC game. I don't want to discredit – Cleveland's defense, because Cleveland's defense is really good.
Really,
I mean,
good.
They had Baltimore, I think it was 10-3 at halftime, and then Flacco threw interceptions and everything bad happened. And Cincinnati, when Burrow was still healthy, they held them to like 17 points. So I don't want to take that away from them, but if you're a Super Bowl team, you know, Philadelphia figures out a way to win this game.
They did today against the Rams.
Right.
They did that today.
And the Packers aren't there. They can't. Mm-hmm. They haven't figured out how to do that yet.
I think that it's a very stark juxtaposition against a Philly-Rams game where the Eagles were down the whole game. They get the blocked field goal. They get the blocked kick. They make the winning play. That's where the Packers have to get. Do you think it would be better for this team for them to have won a sloppy game? They're 3-0. Everyone's still talking about, okay, it wasn't one style points, but they're 3-0, and they found a way to win. And
and have an ugly win, or to have a wake-up call week three where maybe this team was buying into the hype a little bit too much. Maybe they were feeling themselves. I mean, Rasheed Walker just said this past week that they're going undefeated. They're not now. Which do you think would be better for this team in the long run?
Yeah, I don't know if Rasheed Walker should make any more comments like that in the locker room. He also declined to comment after the game. So.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know, shocking.
But, I can see it both ways. I'm curious what you guys think. Which do you think would be better for this team in the long run? An ugly win here in Cleveland where nothing really changes, or a lesson where, hey, you got to show up every week and execute, or you might actually lose to the Cleveland Browns?
I'll go for it. I think it might be early to say, but I think I would take the latter for now. Like, it is a lesson. Like you said, you're getting it in week three instead of in the playoffs, but you have to show up and play. I guess that was the one thing that I was surprised in. I talked to Elton Jenkins. You asked Jordan Love about it. Like, were you overlooking the Browns? Were you feeling yourself too much? You felt like you were too much of a juggernaut? And they said no. I think that was what was surprising. Jenkins felt they practiced well. They did everything, but they just did not come out with that intensity and that energy. So maybe it could be a lesson learned that it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you come out flat, if you don't match that energy, and if you just make the silly mistakes, I mean, you can lose any night.
Yeah, I'd take the win every single time.
Yeah.
You know, I just – wins, as coaches love to say, wins are hard to get. And, you know, at some point you have to build up the thought process that you can win a game even when you don't play your best.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can will yourself to a victory. And that's what they would have done here. It would have been lousy, but they could have, you know, gone home, corrected whatever, and still be 3-0 and be right there with the Eagles. I think it's a bad loss, and it's going to I don't think it'll affect them next week, because I think every week is different.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you can't lose games like this. You just can't. Mm-mm. And they needed to win it.
I think the number one reason for the argument of taking the win is because you look at the NFC now, and Philly is 3-0. Tampa Bay is 3-0, right? Washington did not play Jaden Daniels today, but they won. Now they're 2-1.
Yeah, Detroit bounced back really well.
In a very short sample size, who knows if this will play out. It's a very short sample size. But the Packers look a lot better at home than they do on the road. And this is a team that you expect to make the playoffs. Every win, if you want the path to a Super Bowl to go through Green Bay, you got to win games week three. I think that's a very compelling argument for taking the win. That said, I do think that there is something here to having a wake-up call with a team that I still think is really talented. You know, I asked Jordan Love if they bought into their hype too much today. He's like, no, we know who we are. We're a good team. We're still a good team. And I tend to agree with that. I think they are a very talented team. If they can use this, and this is the thing, we don't know if they will right now. I have no idea if this is a wake-up call or not. I can't call it that. I haven't seen what comes next. But if it is, it's not the worst thing either. You wonder if that loss is going to hurt them later in the year. But it's not the worst thing because, okay, maybe you just dial it in that much more. You realize you have to actually be focused. You have to execute, or you can lose to the Cleveland Browns. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I can see it both. I think that's what's most interesting to me. Where does it go from here? Does this loss hurt them later in the year? Or is this something that they can really use as a lesson?
Well, I guess that's the beauty of the NFL. You'll get an idea of that next week because you're going to Dallas, a Cowboys team that got blown out by the Bears.
They're not a good team. You know what? Cleveland Browns aren't a good team either, so it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, any given Sunday, like, that's the name of the game. You got to be ready to show up and play, and the Packers just didn't do that in this game, losing 13-10 to the Cleveland Browns. So they fall to 2-1 on the season. First road game, first loss of the year. Up next, heading to Dallas to take on the Cowboys, and it's Micah Parsons' homecoming game, and we'll talk more about that later on in the week. So we thank you for checking out the Green 19 podcast. For Tom Silverstein, Ryan Wood, I'm Dominique Yates.